أحمده وأستعينه وأستغفره. نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، عليكم السلام ورحمة الله. فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، فإن كل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is the only one worthy of praise. I seek His help, His guidance, and His forgiveness. I believe in Him, and I trust Him, and I seek refuge on Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides into Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seal of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is our 18 classes. The 18 classes concerning the book Bulugh al-Maram, the attainment of the objective. And today, which is Tuesday, 29th of Safar, for the year 1419, after the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is the second month, with the last night of it, and which is equivalent to the 23rd of June for the year 1998. This is our, alaykum assalam, our 18th class in the book of Bulugh al-Maram, which our job here that to make attempt to read the Arabic text as well as to point to authenticity of the ahadith and the degree of it, as well as giving some explanation and definition of some terms. And today, inshallah, in this new chapter or new class, we're dealing with a new subject which is still relating to the conditions of the salah. Last week we spoke about one of the conditions of the salah, and basically we dealt with things which related to the time of the prayer. And also we spoke about other things like the wudu and the covering of the body, and all the things comes as a part of the conditions of the salah. And today we have one of the things that we should be taking in consideration, which is out of the salah. We have to take in consideration when we are about to perform the prayer, and this is to pray to a sutra, to a screen, And this chapter in the book of Bulugh al-Maram, the book of the prayer, this is chapter 4, page number 83. Babu Sutrat al-Musalli. Babu Sutrat al-Musalli. This chapter concerning having sutra. And before we get in details, we like to explain the term sutra. The word sutra is the Arabic term which you have to make dhamma over the sin and put sukun over the ta, sutra. And the sutra is a thing which you take it to cover something or to hide something or to protect or to veil. This is a general meaning for the word sutra. So sutra, it can be a screen, it can be a veil, it can be a curtain, it can be something to shoulder or to cover. All these things comes under the term sutra. And specifically we're talking about the sutra for the musalli. And the musalli comes from the word salah, yusalli, salah. So the person who making salah, we call him musalli. So we have salah, which is the verb, or yusalli. And we have the salah, which is the noun, the actual prayer itself. And the person who performs the prayer, we call him musalli or al-musalli. So what we're talking about, the necessity of a person who is about to perform a prayer, regardless if this prayer optional or obligatory, that he needs to take a screen, he needs to take a shoulder, he needs to have a protection or a veil while he's making salah. And this can be by using objects, a high with a height, an object with a height, like a stick or a umbrella or anything that you may stick it in the ground or put it in front of you that sits, settle, like a chair as example, or maybe even can be your vehicle, regardless if this vehicle is a camel or a car. So whatever that you put in front of you, or even can be the wall of the masjid itself, or one of the pillars. We have some masjid that you see pillars in the middle of the masjid. So that you go and you stand behind one of these pillars to take it as a shield, as a protection, before you perform the prayer. So this is what we're talking about concerning the sutra. This is general meaning concerning the sutra, and also that religious meaning. And this to be indicating, this sutra to indicate the place of your sujood. Okay? So like he's saying to the people, this is my place of prayer, and this is where I'm making my sujood. Okay? So this is my secret place. Okay? And he giving indication to the people that not to what you call approach, or maybe not violate, or maybe not I could not find the word not invade your protection or your privacy while you understand you pray, like somebody talking with somebody and you don't jump, okay, in the middle of the conversation. So now he's showing, indicating to the people by putting this thing in front of you, that this is my limit here, where I make my sujood, this is the end, this is my privacy. So to indicate to them not not to invade your privacy while it's so. That means you understand this sutra is not going to be bought like 2, 3, 5 miles away from you, okay? But basically, like where you're making your sujood, okay, maximum like one foot, okay, 1 foot away from where you're prostrate. So you don't go and put this stick in the ground or this chair, and that your head will be rubbing against the chair, okay? Basically, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he used to put the sutra, he will leave a space which is almost like sufficient for a goat or a sheep, lamb, to pass in front of him. He doesn't allow the animals to cross in front of him. But basically, this is the distance that he used to leave between him and his sutra, okay? So basically, this is a general definition concerning the sutra. And inshallah, we after this small definition, we go to the book Bulugh al-Maram, and we look in chapter 4 and the first hadith, which hadith 180, number 180, in page number 83, and Abi Juhaym ibn al-Harith رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لو يعلم المار بين يدي المصلي ماذا عليه من الإثم لكان أن يقف 40 خيرا له من أن يمر بين يديه. متفق عليه. واللفظ للبخاري. ووقع في البزار من وجه آخر 40 خريفا. أجيد عن أبي جهيم ابن الحارث رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لو يعلم المار بين يد المصلي يدي المصلي ماذا عليه من الإثم لكان أن يقف 40 خيرا له من أن يمر بين يديه. لحديث أدوسيك الحديث وشنتك متفق عليه, which is agreed, that mean in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well Imam Muslim, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam لو, this is mean if, يعلم, know, okay, المار is the person who bears in front, okay, mar, bathing. Yadai musalli in front of the salli. Yadai, two hands, that means crossing in front of him. Al musalli is the one who performing the prayer. Mada, what, alayhi min al ithm, how much ithm he's going to gain. Lakana al yaqif, that means he will stop, not cross in front of him. 40 means 40. خير الله, better for him, من أن يمر بين يديه, for him to bat in front of him. This is like word to word, almost translation. And we see the hadith that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, what the meaning is, if the person who passing in front of another person in prayer knew the magnitude of sin, of his sin, it would have been better for him to wait for 40 than pass in front of him. This is the narration which came in Bukhari and Muslim, while it came in Bazaar in another version by say 40 autumn, okay, which is one season of the year, like you have a spring and autumn and winter, which indication for 1 year, okay. That means if the person relies that there is somebody who's making salah and he is already had both sutra in front of him, okay, now you as the second person that you want to cross in front of him or pass in front of him, if you get to realize how serious is that matter, that you would rather to wait 40 better than crossing in front of him. Okay? The other narration, which is to explain what is this 40 is talking about. That means to wait for 40 years. So can you imagine somebody, he's about to go to take care of business, alright? And he sees something that he will think twice before proceeding about what he wants to go and do, to such a degree that he will rather to wait for 40 years than crossing in front of this person. This shows you the seriousness of crossing in front of a Muslim making salah, regardless this Muslim male or female, okay? And this basically relating to the person that who already had took a sutra in front of him, that he took the proper precaution and the proper manner of preparing for the salah. Now you are not supposed to invade his privacy, even if it takes you to wait for so long, almost 40 years. You would rather to wait 40 years and not to walk in front of this person who is making salah. Because in actuality, you have to understand what it is. He is in communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is in salah. And being in salah, this is something so great and well, is so secret and well respected, and for you not to invade this privacy. Abu Nadr he said, I don't know, okay. Abu Nadr saying, another narrator here is saying, I don't know what he meant by 40, because the version that came in Bukhari and Muslim say 40. But the one came by Al-Bazzar, he said 40 year or 40 autumn. He said, I don't know if he said 40 days or 40 months or 40 years. Okay? But basically, regardless if waiting for even 40 hours, not 40 days, it still shows you how serious is the matter of crossing in front of the person who is making salah. And for you to wait or find other means not to disturb his prayer. The second hadith, which in page number 84, hadith 181, وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت سئل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في غزوة تبوك عن سترة المصلي فقال مثل مؤخرة الرحل. أخرجه مسلم. Okay. عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت سئل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في غزوة تبوك عن سترة المصلي فقال مثل مؤخرة الرحل. أخرجه مسلم. Narrator of this hadith, which Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, and that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said, su'ila, that means he been questioned. Su'ila means been questioned, from su'al, to ask. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fi ghazwati tabuk. So the occasion was what? The ghazwa of tabuk. Thank you. And this is one of the battles that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has went to it, which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had invaded the Roman people during the month of Rajab in the year, the 9th year after migration. And no fighting happened during this battle. And Tabuk is a city which is the northern side of Al-Hijaz, closer to Palestine. So this is the time, the occasion when this question been addressed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the answer of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was mithl, that means similar. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Mu'akhirati is the ending of the back part or the last part. Al-Rahi, which is the settled. And this is like a chair. It's not actually a chair, but we can call it a seat that they put it on the horse or in the camel to be have a better way of riding and not falling from the animal. So you call it a settled, or you call it a seat. Is something that they make it so they can be able to sit and ride in a better way in top of these animals. And usually in the end of this seat or this saddle will be like a stick sticking in the back for the person to lean as a dumbbell on it. You put your back against it while you're riding, and maybe about something like 1 foot or about third of your arm is a piece of stick that's sticking outside. So the answer of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you have something like this will constitute the sutra, the protection or the screen or whatever that you want to call it. Okay, this hadith is in the collection of Imam Muslim. So the hadith is authentic. And the general meaning here, narrated Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked in the expedition of Tabuk about the sutra of a person who is performing or offering the prayer. He said, it is daif. حديث 183 بيج نمبر 85 وعن أبي ذر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقطع صلاة المرء المسلم إذا لم يكن بين يديه مثل مؤخرة الرحل المرأة والحمار والكلب الأسود. الحديث وفيه الكلب الأسود شيطان أخرجه مسلم. يقطع صلاة المرء المسلم إذا لم يكن بين يديه مثل مؤخرة الرحل المرأة والحمار والكلب الأسود. الحديث وفيه الكلب الأسود شيطان أخرجه مسلم. This hadith which is in the collection of Imam Muslim رحمة الله عليه is also in the collection of Imam الترمذي والنسائي أبو داود and Ibn Majah. The hadith is authentic. يقطع, which means to cut or to break or to spoil. صلاة, which is a prayer. المرء, which a human being or a man, Muslim. إذا لم يكن بين يديه, if he doesn't have in front of his two hands, miss, similar, مؤخرة الرحل, the ending of the saddle. المرأة, which is a woman, حمار, which is a donkey, الكلب الأسود, the black dog. Now, the reading of the hadith or the general meaning that Abu Dhar, may Allah be pleased with him, said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in case there is not before him an object like a back of a saddle, a Muslim salah prayer would be cut off by passing off an ass, a woman, and a black dog. And it concludes, a black dog is a devil. Okay. Now here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam showing us the necessity of having a sutra. And being the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying specifically about these three things, this does not mean this is the only thing that break your salah. But maybe the people, they assume that these things doesn't break the salah. Okay? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam showing them that these things are included. Or why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam talking specifically about this? Because we understand that one of the main things that the shaitan do is disturbing your prayer. And the shaitan, he will accompany these three things more than any other thing. Okay? As example, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling us that when a woman comes, she comes in a form of a shaitan. And when she leaves in the form of the shaitan. That means she is not a shaitan herself, but the shaitan will be company here to be attractive, okay, to the people. So her coming will be like a coming of the shaitan and her departure. Also when she leaving, the shaitan will try to make her appealing and distracting to the people, to the men, to take them away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? The same thing also we understand that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling us about the donkey. That when you hear, إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ نَهِيقَ الْحِمَارِ فَاسْتَعِيذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ فَإِنَّمَا رَأَى شَيْطَانًا. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you hear the donkey, the voice of the donkey, seek refuge in Allah from Satan, because donkey did this as a result of seeing the shaitan. Okay? So these three things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioning, that because it's easy more to the shaitan to accompany these three things more than anything else. Okay? But in practicality, okay, that there is a sin for anybody to pass in front of you. And it is a sin in you also that you pray without having a sutra. But if this is three things pass in front of you, now will spoil your salah. Okay? Will spoil your salah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that يَقْطَعُ صَلَاةَ الْمَرْءِ الْمُسْلِمِ, that will cut it off, will break it. Okay? Something will connect it and that will cut off. عليكم السلام. So this shows the necessity of having a sutra. And if a person having a sutra and one of these three things had passed in front of him, he will have to start his salah all over. he has to. If he have a sutra, if he have a sutra, and if he have a sutra, what's your question?
The question is that you think his sutra would be cut off?
Yes.
Passing with these three things?
Yes.
With the sutra or without the sutra?
So without the sutra, if he did not take this, that means if you bought the sutra and this woman, as example, she passed, let's say this stand, the microphone stand in front of me, this is my sutra. Mm-hmm. So now if a woman cross after this sutra, this is not spoiling my prayer. Mm-hmm. Okay? As long as I have the sutra. Mm-hmm. Alright? But if I don't have the sutra and she passed in front of me, now my salah is spoiled. Okay? So for you to protect your salah not to be invalid, you need to put a sutra, and whatever goes after the sutra, from the other side of the sutra, is not disturbing your prayer. Is it clear now? Okay. So this is three things. Al-Mar'a, Al-Himar, and Al-Kalb Al-Aswad. The woman and the donkey and the black dog. And in this, we're talking about a woman or a young girl who reaches the age of puberty, okay? When we're talking about al-mar'a or al-ha'id, that a woman, a girl, reaches the age of puberty, okay? Hadith is 184, page 85, عن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا صلى أحدكم إلى شيء يكسره من الناس فأراد أحد أن يجتاز بين يديه فليدفعه فإن أبى فليقاتله فإنما هو شيطان. حديث أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا صلى أحدكم إلى شيء يستره من الناس فأراد أحد أن يجتاز بين يديه فليدفعه فإن أبى فليقاتله فإنما هو شيطان. متفق عليه. The hadith is reported by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. May Allah be pleased with him. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala, which means said, إِذَا if صَلَّى, which means pray, perform a prayer in the past tense, أَحَدُكُمْ, one of you, إِلَى to شَيْء something, يَسْتُرُهُ, that means protect or screening him, من الناس, from the people. فأراد أحد, that someone wished, أراد means to wish, أحد someone, أن يجتاز, to pass, بين يدي, in front of his two hands, فليدفعه, to push him. فإن أبى, if he refuses, the person who wants to cross in front of you, أبى means to refuse. This is different from أبي. Okay, أبى. فليقاتله, fights him. فإنما, indeed, هو, he is, شيطان, he devil. Okay? Hadith 184, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what the meaning is, if one of you prays towards an object, separating him from the people, and someone tries to pass between him and the object, okay, in front of him, let him turn him away. But if he refuses, he should fight him, for he is a devil. Okay. So, again, we see the necessity of having sutra. That this is your right, your privacy, and anybody who comes in between you and your sutra, now you have the right to stop him. In case this person that you try to stop him of crossing in front of you refuses, it's your right that you push him, that you use more strength, okay, against him. Also, this is shows that certain movement in the salah, it doesn't spoil the prayer, because it may take stretching your arm in front of you, or in the other case, it may even require that pushing the person or stopping him by force. But this thing is permissible in the salah. It's not only permissible, it is recommended, okay, or been ordered by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Being a shaitan does not mean the human being turned became a shaitan. But the action that he's doing is a shaitanic action, or that the shaitan is accompanying this person in this moment and he won't step in front of you. And also the hadith shows that if the person won't cross in front of you and your sutra. So this is indicates that a person passing beyond the sutra from the other side, this is okay. Again, I want to emphasize this point. فَإِنَّمَا هُوَ شَيْطَانٌ As it came here, that he refuses to, he should fight him, for he is a devil. Okay? That means that the shaitan is with him. That means he's obeying the shaitan. He's listening to the shaitan by trying to cross him in front of you. And if I'm not mistaken, yes, in narration of al-Bukhari came to explain this meaning by saying, فَإِنَّ مَعَهُ الْقَرِينَ فَإِنَّ مَعَهُ الْقَرِينَ Indeed, the Qareen is with him in this case, that means the shaitan. Qareen, because he always with you, wherever you go. Eat, sleep, walk, he always from something being together, always. Okay, doesn't leave you at any time. So this explains that it's not that the person turned to be a devil, but that the action that he's doing it is from the shaitan, and the shaitan is accompanying him, and he's trying to cross in front of you. Next hadith, which hadith 185, page number 86, reported by Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam إذا صلى أحدكم فليجعل تلقاء وجهه شيئا فإن لم يجد فلينصب عصا فإن لم يكن فليخط خطا ثم لا يضره من مر بين يديه. this hadith, which is a collection of Imam Ahmad, and in Sunan Abu Dawood and Ibn Majah and Al-Bayhaqi. وابن حبان. The hadith been classified as Hassan by some scholars, but Sufyan ibn Uyayna, as well as Al-Shafi'i wal-Baghawi, they noted this hadith to be weak. And Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi said, وَلَا يَخُطُّ الْمُصَلِّي بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ خَطٍ إِلَّا أَنْ يَكُونَ فِي ذَلِكَ حَدِيثٌ ثَابِتٌ. That a Musalli shouldn't draw a line in front of him except if there is authentic hadith in this subject. And Ibn Salah had noted this hadith as example lil hadith al-muttarib. Okay? A shaking hadith, that means is not stable. So in actuality, although I think that this, a lot of people been going by this hadith because it came in the kitab Fiqh al-Sunnah by Sheikh Sayyid Sabiq rahmatullahi alayhi, but the hadith is not authentic. And Sheikh al-Albani hafizahullah, he had pointed to this hadith to be weak. So the sutra, as we explained before in the authentic hadith, is something that has a height. Okay? And we explain like the end of the saddle. It can be a stick, it can be a rock, it can be your vehicle, it can be the wall, it can be a table, it can be even a human being sleeping. Okay? That is not going to get up and leave you. That you know that the sleeping is going to be there, I can take him as a sutra. Alright? So it has to be something with a height, could not be a line drawing in the floor or in the ground, as been mentioned in this hadith, which is weak. The last hadith in this chapter is hadith 186, عن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه. قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يقطع الصلاة شيء وادرأوا ما استطعتم. This hadith also is weak, and this hadith is contradicting all the authentic hadith which we had mentioned in the beginning of the class. It's saying that nothing will break your salah, and try to stop. Nothing interrupts your salah, but avert as much as you can. As we say, the hadith, the isnad of the hadith is weak. This is number one. This hadith, which is the collection of Imam Abu Dawood, the son of Imam Abu Dawood, and Al-Bayhaqi, and Abu Uwana, Ibn Adi, Al-Baghawi, Ibn Shaybah. Sheikh al-Albani has coined this hadith to be hadith weak. So, and also, as I said, the hadith is contradiction to all the other authentic hadith which we will mention in the beginning of the class. Therefore, we see the necessity of taking a sutra. Okay? And to the best of my knowledge, and if I'm not mistaken, that according to Sheikh al-Albani's opinion, that is a must, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us that إِذَا صَلَّ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيُصَلِّ إِلَى sutra, that if one of you pray, let him have a sutra. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. Or five خطب الجمعة concerning the خشوع in the salah, and is a translation and explanation to a small booklet I think say 30 سببا للخشوع في الصلاة or something in this meaning. 30 reasons that you can obtain خشوع in your salah. And alhamdulillah that the tapes are available in Masjid al-Muslimin, Brooklyn, New York, as well Masjid al-Muslimin, Columbia, South Carolina. Alaykum salam. And I will encourage all the Muslims to obtain or at least to listen to these tapes. Why? Because Salah is one of the actions that we do, one of the ibadah that we do it every day. And the Salah is imaduddin, is the main pillar of Islam. And the Salah is going to be the first thing that you're going to be questioned about it in the day of judgment. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying what the meaning is, أَوَّلُ مَا يُحَاسَبُ الْعَبْدُ يوم القيامة الصلاة فإن صلحت صلح سائر عملي كله وإن فسدت فسد سائر عملي كله. Okay, the first thing that you're going to be questioned about it in the day of judgment, Rashid, is what? The Salah. What's the first thing? The Salah. Okay, what is the first thing you're going to ask you? The Salah, the prayer. Okay, did you make prayer today? Good. So this is the first thing you're going to be questioned about it in the day of judgment. If it's good, everything else will come to be good. If it's corrupted, spoiled, that means the rest of the action will be the same. As a result of having deficiency in our salah, it can be part of it that is not sure that you are not, and the best way that I want to use or the best term that I can use for khushu' is being mindful in your prayer. That your mind to be in the prayer, not only your body in the prayer. Okay? Being mindful, that means putting your mind in the prayer. And this will be required that the limbs, your parts of your body, to act accordingly in a manner of respect and humbling yourself. So if the salah has deficiency, and this deficiency can come as a result of no khushu' or not enough khushu', not being mindful in your prayer, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to the angel, انظروا هل عبدي من تطوع. Look, see if my slave servant have some optional prayer. Okay? Like when you enter the mosque and you pray Surah Al-A'at, or you make sunnah after Maghrib or witr prayer, all these things Muhammad will call it optional prayer, okay? Which is not obligatory prayer. So when somebody have a problem with his main prayer, which is obligatory prayer, there is a deficiency in it, it's short, okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the angels, what? Look, see if this man have anything in reserve, any optional prayer that he did. If you have an optional prayer, now we'll come to batch in your obligatory prayer, to try to make up for the shortage that you have in your obligatory prayer. Okay? So this is very important, that number one, will be mindful in our prayer, and number two, that we should always try to have a lot of optional prayer to make up. In actuality, if I can give you example, like somebody who is carrying a spare tire. You see, driving without a spare tire, you're taking a big chance. Is it? You're taking a big chance. Because if you have blow one of this tire, you have a flat, this is it, you're stuck on the highway. But when you have a spare tire, now you can change it even if it's a donut, okay? Not the donut that you eat. You know the donut? Yes. But if you have a donut, at least you can drive on this donut for few miles until you go to the next gas station. So in the day of judgment, a person will be looking for anything to help. Salaam wa rahmatullah, brother. Okay? And also in hadith that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling us that when a person making salah, does not mean that he's getting the credit for the whole prayer. This is something we have to be very concerned about. Some people, they get a third of their salah. Some people, they get fifth of their salah. Some people get fourth of their salah. Okay? Allah knows best how many people they get a full credit for their prayer. Why? Because when you answer the prayer, what is count to you what when your mind is in the prayer? But you say, Allahu Akbar. And after this, your mind starts to go to food line. And after this, you go to the lab. You see, coming back again to the kitchen, and coming back to the masjid. And after this, you hear the Imam say, Sami'a Allah liman hamida. Now you wake up again. You come back to your salah. Couple of minutes, okay, I have an interview tomorrow, and after the interview, now you start to think what you're going to wear for the interview, and you keep going like this in salah, the next thing you hear the Imam saying what? As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, as-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, and this is the time that you're coming back with your mind and your thoughts to the prayer. So in actual, all this time, that your body been in the musalla, but your mind been in food line and been in the closet and been on all these places, this is the time will count you when your body and your mind were in the masjid. You see? And you know how much time really your mind is staying in the prayer. This applies to me and to you, applies to everybody. Being part of being a human being. Okay, you know, living in this life is a struggle. But the shaitan also is working. Yeah? Even if you try to be mindful in your prayer, the shaitan is working in you and trying to remind you about everything that you could not remember before. So the khushu' in the salah is something very, very, very important. And that the khushu' of the salah, okay, will be one of the things that will depart this ummah, depart from the life of this ummah, and will be like the saying says that salah bila khushu' ka jasadin bila rawh, that prayer without khushu' and humiliation and being mindful is like a body without a soul. Okay, like a body without a soul. And you imagine what a body without a soul, what is the benefit of it? Okay? It doesn't have too much. We don't keep body without a soul. Regardless how much you love this person. She's your wife, he's your husband, he's your son, he's whatever. The soul leaves, this is. Is it right, Sammy? We don't keep the body. If the soul leaves, this is. So the salah without khushu' is like a body without its soul. Is it right, Amina? Amina? You met today? Okay. And one of the things, like I say, I'm not going to go through all these things, but if we listen to these tapes, and I'm not trying to commercialize saying tapes here to you, but the subject is very important. And as evidence that I'm not trying to sell the tapes, you can even borrow them, listen to them, bring them back for free. But it's very important to listen to this 5 Jum'ah khutbah by Sheikh Imam Talib Da'iya Brother Dawood Haji Imam Abu Tasneem Dawood Adib Al-Atari. You have to put all the titles on this, or otherwise you'll be in trouble when you go to Brooklyn. So the first hadith, hadith 187, it says, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu qal, Naha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an yusalli al-rajul mukhtasira. Muttafaqun alayhi wa lafzu al-muslim wa ma'nahu an yaj'al yad'a ala khasirati. Jazakallah khaira. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naha means he forbade. يصلي الرجل مختصرة that means he will put his hand over his خصر مفروك تسألتك الأول حطيت يدي where is the خصر let's see what he says in English here oh the waist okay your waist you know gone in this bone on top of your
got your stomach to the side, left side, under the ribs, right away, and you got your hand. It is somebody, I don't know, maybe some of you went overseas. It is some people they train like this, okay? Like you see some people also praying like this. Maybe you saw this one. These people will pray like this because they said the heart is here. So this like you keep your heart awake. Yeah, you see people praying like this. So Rasulullah forbade this person to pray like this. Okay? So put the right hand on the left hand and put it to the side. But the proper way is to what? To put the right hand on the left hand on your chest. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade keeping one's hand on one's waist, keeping one's hand on one's waist while praying, agreed upon. The virgin is that of a Muslim, and its meaning is to put one's hands on his waist. And in the version which in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari, إِنَّ ذَلِكَ فِعْلُ الْيَهُودِ. This is the action or the imitation, the act or the practice of the Jewish. Okay, the Jewish people, when they pray, this is the way how they pray. Hadith 188, page number 87, عن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا قدم العشاء فابدأوا به قبل أن تصلوا المغرب. Now this is something very important. قدم إذا, which means if, قدم means presented, العشاء with the فتحة different from Al-Isha. Al-Isha with the Qasra in the Ain will be the prayer of Isha. Al-Asha with the Fatha on the Ain will be the dinner. Okay? Sabda'u start bihi with it. Qabla means before, and to Sallu you perform Al-Maghrib. This is a new addition that we added today to our class that will give word translation. General meaning that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying if supper is brought and prayer is ready, start with the food before you pray the Maghrib. Okay? Now we see why. Why? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants you to be mindful in your prayer. Dinner is there and time of prayer is there. You start with what? You start with the dinner. Why? Otherwise you be praying, your body will be in the musalla, in the prayer, and your mind and your stomach there on the kitchen table. Okay? So we don't need this. So to prevent this, we want you, your mind, your body, your stomach, everything to be in the salah. So go and fulfill your needs or your wants first, and after this come and make your salah. So you are not thinking anymore about the food. You are not thinking anymore about the food, okay? So this will help you to be thinking about your salah, to have more khushu'. And we understand in Surah Al-Mu'minun, the believer, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised the believers and promised success to them, He said, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. He did not say those who perform a prayer, but say, He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, success are for the believers, those who are khashi'un in their prayer. He did not say those who perform the prayer, because there are some people perform a prayer like they're doing jumping jacks, up and down, this is, okay? But Allah praised and promised success to those who are mindful, those who are humble in their prayer. Now they understand he starts with the prayer. As soon as he say Allahu Akbar, now he see what time it is. And now it's crashing. And now the tie is too tight on his neck. And now he understand he waves his fly. And now he's crashing and the ant bites. And everything starts as soon as he say Allahu Akbar, everything is bothering him. You see? This is not the way our person supposed to be in the prayer. Hadith 189 عن أبي ذر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا قام أحدكم في الصلاة فلا يمسح الحصى فإن الرحمة واجهه. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. This hadith, hadith 189, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported by Abu Dharr, إِذَا إِفْ قَامَ stood up أَحَدُكُمْ one of you see in الصَّلَاةِ the prayer فَلَا is not supposed to يَمْسَح wipe or touch. Wipe is the proper way. الْحَصَى tipples. فَإِنَّ indeed الرَّحْمَ mercy تواجهه facing him. This hadith is authentic, is in the collection of Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood al-Tirmidhi ibn Majah wal-Nisa'i wal-Baghawi. Tirmidhi had coined or had classified the hadith to be Hassan. So now this also shows you that you are not supposed to be concerned, because special when somebody making salah and the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as I explained before, doesn't have this rug and all this fancy things that we're praying on. So you have temples and you have stands and things like this. And sometimes people concerned about when they go to make sujood that to level it. Okay, make this move when you go to prostrate. But this, it takes away from your concentration on the prayer. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving direction that when one of you go to make salah, let him not to be touching the pebbles and try to level it down and making it move, because the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's facing him, so he shouldn't be occupying himself with something else. Hadith 190, I didn't read the hadith, I'm sorry. Hadith 189 narrated Abu Dharr, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what the meaning is, when one of you is praying, he must not remove pebbles from his face, for the mercy is facing him. Okay? So this can be one of two meanings. That when you prostrate and when you get up, there is some dust or some small pebbles sticking to your forehead. Or that you try to level the ground so not to bothering you too much. So regardless this or that, that you shouldn't be busy with these things, because this will take you and disturb your attention in the prayer. Okay? So join and enjoy the mercy that you are in your salah, and stop be brain and concerned about that something dirty get in my face, or that my hair came in my face, and you try to fix your hair, try to fix your goofy, all these things, okay? People be making salah, and the next thing, every moment, going up, and make sure the goofy is right, everything, my hair, and the part in his hair is still good, it's not that messed up, and keep washing it, and if you have a box, whatever you call it, every time you get from the sujood, you try to make... They are not thinking about, he's concerned about his hair. He's not concerned about his salah. And all the things taken what from the khushu' and the humiliation is supposed to be in the salah, showing your slavery to Allah. showing your slavery to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like some of the Salaf, they said al-khushu' fi salah means sukun, not to move. And al-Baghawi said al-khushu' fi al-badan wal-basar wal-sawt. That al-khushu' humiliation in the salah will be in your body and in your vision as well as your voice. You don't disturb everybody, you can read enough for you to listen. Okay? And also that your sight doesn't go everywhere. You look where you prostrate. This to help you to have khushu' in the salah. Everybody move and you see who came, who joined the rank, who's there, what they wearing. So you need everything to humiliate and to be slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially during the salah. And Abu Shaymah said, هو التذلل والتواضع لله بالقلب والجوارح. That Abu Shaymah said, this humiliation and humbling yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart as well as your limbs. Next hadith 190 عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت سألت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الالتفات في الصلاة فقال هو اختلاس يختلسه الشيطان من صلاة العبد. سألت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الالتفات في الصلاة فقال هو اختلاس يختلسه الشيطان من صلاة العبد. عائشة من الله ببليز نزير قالت سيد سألت, that means I ask رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, عن الالتفات, الالتفات to be looking around here and there في الصلاة, during the صلاة. فقال, he said, هو, that means الالتفات, looking here and there, اختلاس, 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 stealing, taking something in a hidden way. اختلاس means stealing. يختلسه الشيطان, that the shaitan will snatch it away and take it suddenly من صلاة العبد. Okay, general meaning that she asked the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم about looking at the sides during prayer, regardless if you move in your head or only with your eyes. Okay, be distracted in your prayer, looking here and there. And the Prophet ﷺ answered, it is something which the devil snatches from slaves' prayer. Okay? The shaitan is standing there trying to take away, to steal something from your prayer. So you have to go over guard, protect your prayer, make sure the shaitan doesn't take any moment out of it. So don't keep looking right or left or here. Keep your eyes to the place where you make your prostration. وللترمذي عن أنس وصححه إياك والالتفات في الصلاة فإنه هلك. فإن كان لابد ففي التطوع. This hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described al-iltifat, looking around during the salah, to be a destruction. It's what is destruction? So you can see what is a serious meaning. Is destruction. If you could not help it, will be in the voluntarily or optional prayer. So the rules is relaxed a little bit in the optional prayer. Like we spoke last week, that we can make salah on the camel, on side the car while we're driving in the optional prayer. We can even make in salah not facing the qibla while we're driving. So the rules relaxed a little bit here concerning the optional prayer. Next hadith, which 191, page 88. عن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا كان أحدكم في الصلاة فإنه يناجي ربه فلا يبصقن بين يديه ولا عن يمينه ولكن عن شماله تحت قدمه. متفق عليه. عن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا if كان أحدكم one of you was في الصلاة in the prayer فإنه indeed he is يناجي. يناجي means talking softly, quietly, in a very low voice. Munaja, like almost like whispering, okay? Yunaji, Rabbahu, his Lord. Fala, don't, yapsuqanna, space, bayna, between, yadayhi, his two hands, wala, and not, an, yamini, on his right. ولكن but عن on شماله his left تحت means under قدمه foot. This hadith in the collection of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayh. Narrated Anas may Allah be pleased with him that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying when any one of you is engaged in the salah, the prayer, he is holding intimate conversation with his Rabb. So he should not spit, he shouldn't spit neither in front of him nor to his right side, but to his left side under his foot. Agreed. Okay? So the proper manner in the salah, if a person have to, and he could not help it, and he has to spit, that he has a lot of mucus or anything like this, that he has to understand and be mindful about what he's engaged in, that he in a private conversation with his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for him to respect the direction of the Qibla as well as the right side. So if he has to spit, will be under his foot to the left side. And also it can be used a handkerchief or napkins or whatever it is, because you are not going to do this on the rug here in the Musalla, okay? Yeah. So I'm saying, brother, the Prophet ﷺ said it's okay. Yeah, he said okay, but you know where he said okay. And how is his musalla or his masjid used to be? Okay, a dirt. So, if a person, you understand, in a condition that he have to relieve himself from this mucus, he may take the end of his shirt, turban, shimar, or if you have a napkin, okay, he can pull it and he can put it in it, okay, and put it back without making too much movement and things like this. Hadith 192. وعنه قال كان خرام لعائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها سفرت به جانب بيتها فقال لها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أميطي عنا قرامك هذا، فإنه لا تزال تصاويره تعرض لدي، تعرض لي في صلاتي. كان قرام لعائشة رضي الله عنها، قرام is a like a piece of material light and with strips or with lines with different colors, exactly like what we call today like a curtain, like in what a curtain and a door, okay, but with a colorful one. This is a qiram. Let me see what he used. A qiram here, a soft piece of cloth with colors. Okay, now you think I was cheating you that I saw it before. I'm telling you I didn't. So Aisha radiallahu anha, and look, she said, satarat bihi janiba baytiha. She used it as a sutra, as a veil. Not you understand like some people, rahmukallah. Now you have curtains on the walls. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't command us to cover walls. Okay? You are not turning your house to a Kaaba now. But the curtain for purpose of covering. Now we found nowadays people have these curtains because now the money became too much and some people they don't know how to use it. So the only thing now, try to see how to do to decorate the house and curtains. So now the wall been built and the walls been painted and the wall they have different code and the wall have a paper what you call this wallpaper, and over this would be a curtain over the wall.
Over the wall or the window?
No, over the walls. Okay? But on the windows they cover windows, glass, so people do not see you. This is okay. But I'm talking about people using curtains for covering walls. This became part of the fashion. Maybe some of you, because most of you middle class people, you didn't see these things. Alhamdulillah, I've been different places. Sometimes I tell you about what's happening, okay? I want some houses that look like a mansion, okay? You don't know if you are in a house or you are in the White House. Anyway, so Aisha had this qiram for the purpose of covering as a sutra. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her, amiti, that means remove. Anna qiramati hala. Why? فَإِنَّهُ لَتَزَالُ تَصَوِيرُ تَعْرِضُ لِي فِي صَلَاتِي. Because the siwar, or the pictures, or the colors, or the lines, the straps, the strippers, the stripes that was in it, it came coming to the vision and the mind of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which caused a disturbance for him during the salah. And this will teach us that anything which in your way as a form of disturbance, even your means to remove it, that you should remove it. And this is also something to tell you and shows you about the bid'ah of some people, that you go in the masjid, you found all kind of colors and wall to wall verses written in the walls. كُلَّمَا دَخَلَ عَلَيَا زَكَرِيَا الْمِحْرَابُ وَجَبَ عِنْدَهَا رِزْقَ. So a special verse on the Qibla, and after this in the walls, from walls to walls, to found in Ayatul Kursi. And when some people come to our masjid here, they say, what's wrong with you people? What's the walls? Nobody will know that it doesn't look like a masjid. What a masjid supposed to look like? Huh? To say you don't have a mihrab, and you don't have Quran written in the wall, you don't have this, you don't have that. We want to practice the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some imams now are going to tell you it depends on your intention. There's nothing called your intention. You see? It depends on your intention. I don't care about your intention. My question to you, was the mask of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has verses of the Quran written on it? Yes or no? This is what I want to know. I'm not concerned about your intention. Why? Okay? because this is the tricky way that some imams now, everybody asking him about the question and say what? It depends in your intention. If you think this brings you closer to Allah, now it's haram, it's bid'ah. If you think, what you think or what I think? I don't care what you think, what I think. All what I'm concerned to imitate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in everything. Did the Prophet do it? Did the Sahaba do it? If no, I don't need it. Settle. The case is settled. It's khalas. But yes. So Aisha radiallahu anha had ikram with which she had screened one side of her house. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, take away this qiram of yours, for its pictures are still displayed in front of me during my prayer. He made a note here, and I don't know, it means that anything which diverts attention, same thing again. See brothers, I'm almost to be a sheikh. Everything I'm telling you, when I look in the footnote, I see this. Inshallah, I'll be sheikh soon. Okay. واتفق على فإنها تهني عن الصلاة وكأنها تلهي عن الصلاة. Other version of the same meaning. Hadith 193 before the same click. How much time, Habib? Approximately 50. Oh, I should slow down now and go in more bid'ah. Okay. وعن جابر ابن سمرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا ينتهين أقوام يرفعون أبصارهم إلى السماء في الصلاة أو لا ترجع إليهم. Very serious. جابر ابن سمرة رضي الله ببريد with him that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said لا ينتهين let them stop أقوام people يرفعون they raise أبصارهم their eyes or their vision إلى السماء to the sky في الصلاة in the prayer أو لا otherwise ترجع return إليهم to them. Narrated Jabir ibn Samra, may Allah be pleased with him, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, those people who raise their eyes to the heaven while in salah should stop doing so, or else their sight will not return back to them. I'm sure most of you don't understand what it is. But you notice that some people, I'm not going to mention especially what country, but after they go up from Rukur, they say, Sami Allahu liman hamidhi, Sami Allahu liman hamidhi, and they look up like this, okay? This is a habit of some people. They say, Sami Allahu liman hamidhi, Rabbana alaka alhamda. They look up, and this is dangerous. Rasulullah said, you don't do this. Okay, don't do this. Otherwise, it may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause you to lose your vision as a result of doing this. Because this, it doesn't show respect and humiliation in the salah. Everything in salah is about slavery. It's about humiliation, about being down. You see? So when you're looking up like this, no, this is not the proper way. ولو عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول لا صلاة بحضرة الطعام ولا هو يدافعه الأخبثان لا صلاة بحضرة الطعام ولا هو يدافعه الأخبثان. عليكم السلام الله وبركاته. 2, 3, 2. How is jumped from 15 to 5? I don't know that I spoke that fast. Okay. This hadith is the collection of Imam Muslim. Okay? That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا, no, salah, no prayer. in the present bihadra. Hadra means the presence, not the hadra of God. Allah hay. At-ta'am, food. Wala, neither. Wahua, while. Yudafi'uhu. Al-akhbathan. Force. Or fight against. Al-akhbathan, the two evil ones or the two bad ones. Okay? General meaning of the hadith, the Rasulullah ﷺ said, no salah. That means the salah is not acceptable. No salah. In the presence of food, neither while you want to use the bathroom. Okay? The reading of the hadith narrated, Aisha, in another version, that Rasulullah ﷺ, I hear the Prophet ﷺ saying, no salah prayer can be rightly offered with food brought before the worshipper or when he is resisting the urge to relieve himself of the filth. Okay? So when the food is there, eat first. So your salah, your mind will be in the salah, not in the food. And if you want to use the bathroom, you better go use the bathroom first, make a fresh wudu, relax yourself, so your mind will be in the salah, not thinking about, you think I'm going to be able to make it, or how much, or two rak'ahs more, or one rak'ah more, or I hope the Imam hurry up and do, you understand? You could not make salah like this. Your mind is not there. What kind of salah is this, okay? Last hadith 194 عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال تثاؤب من الشيطان فإذا تثاؤب أحدكم فليقظم ما استطاع رواه مسلم. That yawn is from the devil. When one of you is yawning or making تثاؤب, let him control it as much as he can. Why the hadith came here? Because in other versions say fi as-salah, that when one of you yawn in salah. Okay? So this is the reason that the brought in. But from the adab of yawning in general, that you don't say and make all this noise. Number one, you have to control the noise, and number two, you cover your mouth. Okay? Yes, inshallah, by this hadith, we had covered the second chapter for today. And next week, if we're still alive, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, we'll start a new chapter concerning Book of Prayer, which is chapter number 6, concerning Al-Masajid, page number 90. If any minutes left, if anybody have a comment, correction, anything, we'd be glad to entertain it now. You have anything with you? Okay. Sister Zainab. Inshallah. Alaykum salam. Okay. We understood that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was carrying his granddaughter. Okay? He was carrying his granddaughter during the salah. And when he used to sit, or when he used to prostrate, he used to put her down. To the best of my understanding, the what you call it, tafla, that you could not prevent them from this. But if you can avoid it by keeping closer to the sutra, this would be much better. Because we understand Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in one hadith, I think was a sheep, and that he tried to bend in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept walking closer to the sutra until he reached all the way to the wall, which was the sutra, and his stomach touched the wall, and he let his animals go behind him. So if a child who's walking and you can avoid by walking towards your children, you should do it. But little babies that they don't understand and that you could not avoid it will be okay. Never let the milk or the drink your salah, boy or a girl. Okay? Because when we talk about the hadith, the hadith is talking about a woman who reached the age of puberty. Are you stretching, Sammy, or are you saying bye-bye?
I got a question.
Okay, brother.
Inshallah, are you supposed to
stay in there after you yawn? No, there's nothing to be said. It's something that became famous to some people that when they yawn, they say, A'udhu Billahi Min Shaitan Rajeem. But it's not. Yes, it is from the Shaitan, but it's not exactly there.
No.
Just for you to say, A'udhu Billahi Min Shaitan Rajeem.
No, I didn't
say that. Neither me. You see, now I'm not going to go back again and say,